back in May. It was my first bodybuilding show. I got up on stage and did Natural Iowa. I have another one coming up in October in Omaha, so I'll go compete again. But it was something that I've never done. I wanted to try it. So I went and I gave it a shot. So I hired a coach for that. And got up there and I got second.
Wow,
I didn't
first
expect to
show.
do that. Yep. I didn't expect to do that. So I got first in my division and I got second overall. So if I would have gotten first overall,
Wow.
I would have earned my pro card. So
Wow.
hence the reason I'm continuing to do it. So
Yeah. Hello, this is Lance Farrell with Life at Level 10, where you get inspired to live your best life. Hi, this is Lance. I've got a really special guest here today by the name of Heath. Heath, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Lance. How about yourself?
Good. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Tell the audience, who is Heath Hill?
Live here in West Des Moines and played semi-pro for a few years. Came here to go to Des Moines University and got my master's in healthcare administration there. And then, after semi-pro, I kept eating different things like that. And what's funny is you keep eating to gain muscle mass and things like that. And it's when you stop working out and you keep eating that way, bad things happen. Things start to go south, right?
Semi-pro football is the real deal. What position did you play?
Middle linebacker.
Oh my gosh, you're one of the tough ones. Jeez.
Yeah,
Linebacker.
no, I absolutely love any chance I can get to hit somebody across the way is perfect. So,
Hey, so what was your life like before you started Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping?
before I started Farrell's, I've always been an athlete. And then, like I had mentioned before, you change your meal plan to gain mass and stuff like that. And then once football went away for me, I just kept eating. And then, things started going south or whatever. Started putting on weight and just got to an unhealthy point. I think at my worst, I was at like 284, and
Wow.
so I was big, I was unhealthy, had some bad habits and things like that. But and then I kind of started to make a change, and I was like, this is not good. Things are not going to end well. My cholesterol levels were high. My blood pressure was high. I was on medications for both of those things. And then I started just making a change to get a little bit healthier. So cut out the bad habits and started just changing a little bit of my diet, just not eating as much as of the bad stuff, right? Nothing crazy or dramatic. Just started cutting out some of the as much pizza or ice cream or you name it. And then just kept going. And then I got down to about 264 on my own, and then started coaching with Nick Cicero from Urbandale. And we decided we were all, as a coaching staff, going to get in shape. And that way we can run around with the boys and walk the walk. And so we decided to join the 10-week challenge. So I joined the 10-week challenge at 264. And, had perfect attendance, went every day. And I think, some of that's attributed to doing it as a coaching staff. So we held each other accountable. Plus just going to the 5 a.m. class alone. We had the group messages, anytime we missed, we gave each other a hard time. Where are you? That was just an accountability thing. Like, if I don't show up, I'm gonna get 100 text messages today. Yeah, so just kind of went through that. Finished the 10-week challenge at 20, or I'm sorry, what I finished the 10-week challenge at like 245. So I'd lost 20 pounds. Through that 10-week challenge, and then I was like trying to debate, where do I want to go from there, right?
Yeah.
Kind of what that looks like, because I'm very goal oriented, and if I don't have that carrot to chase, I kind of will start to slack off. So
yeah, that's very normal. So before you start talking about after the 10 weeks, let's talk about that 10 weeks just for a second. So in the 10 weeks, we do some fitness testing, pushups in a minute, sit-ups in a minute, any of those stats you want to share. What I'm curious about is you want to be able to run with the kids. So we do a mile run, and being an athlete, you probably ran a pretty good mile at 265 pounds. You remember what your time was when you first came in?
Actually, it wasn't that good. It was like, I think it was like 11 minutes.
11 minutes. And then after the 10 weeks, after 10 weeks of doing no running, we just do kickboxing, strength training, eat, you know, nutrition clean. You got down to 245 pounds. You remember what your ending mile time was?
7 minutes.
You took 4 minutes off your mile.
Yep.
That's really impressive. All about, I don't know if I've heard anybody go that well in 10 weeks. That is really good. Okay, cool. So any other big stats you remember from your 10 weeks that you were surprised you got?
I'm not sure the exact number, but I can tell you that I think it was like 25 sit-ups and 35 push-ups to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I know that push-ups and sit-ups increase a great amount. I mean, I probably did at least, I think it was around 70 or something for both, 70 to 80 difference.
Wow.
So I increased a lot. I gained a lot of strength and dropped fat as well, dropped that body fat percentage. And I mean, the important thing for me was, you know, I wanted to lose weight, but I didn't want to lose muscle mass because right. Even though at my heaviest at 284, I still had a lot of muscle that was underneath there. And so didn't want to lose all of that, but at 284, I really wasn't too concerned. I just needed to get healthy. Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really until I started the 10 week challenge when I was really starting to pay attention to the muscle mass versus the body fat percentage and stuff. So the actual poundage wasn't really a factor for me, but it was a nice result because you could actually mm-hmm. see all of it drop. So that just shows you how much fat that, you know, that I had, which isn't good.
I'm curious, you lost 20 pounds, but did we have the InBody machine back when you started? Because you probably put some muscle on at the same time.
Yeah, we did. I think I came in at like 18%. And I finished the 10 week challenge at 8%. So, and then my muscle mass went from 118 to 124.
So you put on 6 pounds of muscle, which means you lost 20 pounds, put on 6 pounds of muscle, which means you lost 26 pounds of fat.
Right. Right.
That's really cool. So you saw the shape. So your clothes were fitting way better, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't know if they were fitting way better. They sure were falling off, though.
So, you had to tighten your belt.
Right. A little bit.
So did you have any struggles before? Because you're like football guy, probably doing free weights, you know, all that. And we do group exercise with bands and some dumbbells, but we're not doing the free weights on the bench and stuff like you're used to. Mm-hmm. And then we also do fitness kickboxing as cardio instead of what a lot of football players go running or, you know, get the cardio another way, maybe don't do a whole lot. Mm-hmm. What was your thought when you started doing kickboxing? Because that's kind of foreign to a lot of guys.
So my thing about the kickboxing was and here's what was holding me back, to be honest with you, from joining mm-hmm. the beginning of going back and forth with myself was like, I don't want to die. Like, I don't want to go there and just die on the mat and just look silly. You know, and I think that was what was good about me joining with the group that I did was because, I mean, if one of us
together,
go down, we were all going to go down. So, I mean, we were all relatively about the same shape or whatnot. And, so just started doing some of that, but you know, it was like, that was my big concern was really just, man, am I going to be able to last a whole class or am I going to go like 15, 20 minutes and call it quits? Like I'm good. But it was really nice because we started out at a slower pace and, you know, just throwing some jabs and then, you know, doing the jab cross and so on and so forth. And then just doing the proper technique of that. But before that, I've had some experience with kickboxing because I used to actually do kickboxing in the ring way back in high school. So that was a long time ago. But so just knowing some of that. But so I knew it was going to be a lot of cardio. And honestly, I prefer the kickboxing over going and running. Running's mm-hmm. really not my deal, never been my thing. So, you know, I would much rather do something, whether it's football or kickboxing or something, to get my cardio in, as
opposed to challenge your mind a little bit more than just running.
Right.
What, and can you think of any of the struggles you had along the way when you were just getting started? Because a lot of people listening to this have maybe never tried ferals and like, oh, I don't know if I can do it either, man. Kickboxing sounds too complicated.
So, you know, I think some of the struggles was just getting there, right? Just showing up every day, just doing the work. And that was my biggest thing, was just being consistent and showing up. I think that made a huge difference for me, but it was a struggle every day, because you get up and you have a day of like, I just don't really feel like it today. I don't feel like going. Once I went, it was definitely much better. The other piece of that was the nutrition piece. Like, what do I eat? Where do I start? Like, I don't even know where to begin, because it was very different going the other direction, where before, and when I was younger playing football, I would eat more to gain, right? And now
you were on the seafood diet before. Seafood, absolutely, and eat it, right?
Just eat whatever I wanted. And now it's like, okay, what do I eat to get this off? And it's like, I know I need protein, and I know I need some carbs and whatever in there. And you know, I've done different programs before, in and out, and the hardest thing was always the nutrition. I could always just power through the workouts or try or struggle or whatever, and they eventually got better. As long as I stuck with it, I just got better at them, right? And you know, your endurance and everything just builds up. But the nutrition piece was always the hardest. And even whenever we talked about doing like a cheat meal or something like that, like I would literally do a cheat day. I would mm-hmm. all day just eat whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I would spend the rest of the week trying to work all that off that I just put on in one day. Right. So once I figured that out, I was like, okay, we're not doing this cheat stuff anymore. And so let me figure out and do some research on what it is that I need to do. Because I was given macros. Right. And so I learned about the macros and things like that. And then just started forming my meal plan around what the macros that were given at that point. And just started really eating clean. And it wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily just following the macros to the T. It was just eating clean. Because once I figured that out and stopped eating the sugar and raising my, you know, glucose levels and different things like that, then things really started to happen as far as that, you know, the dropping of the fat and the weight loss. So my biggest struggle at the beginning was definitely the nutrition piece.
So what's one of your first wins you remember? Was it with nutrition? Was it looking in the mirror? What's one of the things where you went, aha, look, it's working?
Actually, it wasn't me. It was everybody else around, right? Like, so, you know, everybody starts seeing you and they're like, wow, what are you doing different? You know, you look different. And you're like, oh, I mean, because really you look at yourself in the mirror every day, you see yourself. Like, yeah. So you're like, you don't really necessarily know a change or see a change. You know, one thing that I still do is like take pictures every week. And then you can actually see the transformation every week, as mm-hmm. to where you won't see it in the mirror, but you will see it in your clothes, or you will feel it, you know? So putting my pants on, I'm like, oh, these are a little bit looser. These are getting, or they actually got to the point where they fit normal. And then they got loose. Right. So that's where I noticed it without trying to put pictures and whatever together. I didn't necessarily see it in the mirror. Never really saw it in the mirror, to be honest with you. During the 10 weeks until toward the end. But the clothes kept fitting different. Then we did the final picture at the end, and compared them. And I mean, it was a difference, you know,
it was drastic, wasn't it?
Yeah. You just started seeing everything. So, you know, once you start getting some of that fat out of there, you know, and whatever, and, you know, and I was bigger, so I had some extra skin or whatever. And, you know, it is what it is, but
the Titans back up eventually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what other wins can you remember? I just keep going back to the football boys you're coaching and being able to run with them. Is mm-hmm. is that a big improvement these days?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, now I outrun the kids and I outwork the kids and whatever. So it's very different than what it would have been then. But, you know, so it's fun whenever you're able to line up against the kids and they expect you just to be the old coach that's just telling them what to do and can't do it. But you line up in front of them, they're like, oh, okay, coach, you can actually do this. Well, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing is just to be able to run around with them and not run down the field dying and breathing hard and get to the end and feel like I'm going to pass out. Right. So,
yeah,
it's fun to be able to do that, you know, or when we get into a circle and we're doing push-ups and squats and sit-ups and different things like that. And I just do it with them.
You're right with them. Yeah.
And I can
lead you by example.
Right. And then I can just do it. So I think those were the biggest things for me. I'm very much of a person that likes to just walk the walk. And like, you know, I want them to view me as a guy that's done it. Right. And not just some guy that's just telling them what to do. So I want mm-hmm. them to believe in it, see it, trust it, do those things. You know, outside of just the football, like I love coaching people. So just being able to coach people at Farrell's or help people with nutrition everywhere. So
I love it. So, yeah. So you started talking about after your 10 weeks and I cut you off to get more detail about the 10 weeks. So I want you to share more about after the 10 weeks, what you did. But before you do, I'm really curious because you ran the mile when you first started in 11 minutes. After 10 weeks, you ran it in 7 minutes. Do you know what your current mile time is?
My current mile, I'm down to 6 minutes.
Wow. So
that's if I do good. Much more than that, I just feel like passing
that's pretty
out.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the 10 weeks, you said you needed a goal.
Yep. So I needed a goal. I didn't really know what to do after the 10 weeks because, you know, you get to the 10 weeks and it's like, oh, I did my 10 weeks. And of course, you know, I'm competitive, right? And so I'm just like, okay, what's my next thing? What can I do and what can I go for and try to get and do whatever? The fun thing about it is that you get healthier in the process, right? That's just one of the side effects of it, and that's okay. So, you know, I talked to Nick and Denise a little bit, and then, you know, Nick's like, well, why don't you do the fit challenge or the year challenge? And I was like, okay, you know, tell me more about what the year challenge entails. And, you know, so he's telling me, I'm like, well, I don't know how much more I can lose. Like, I don't think that I can compete. Just seeing the posters and stuff around, I was looking and kind of comparing, like, I don't think that I can do it. And he's like, just do it. You never know. Right. And so he talked me into it and he goes, well, you could just build muscle or you could do whatever and just give me different options. He goes, it's not necessarily about losing all the weight. So I'm like, okay. So I joined, started going, I was heavy at it. And then, you know, it got to about, 6 months in. And then I was still going diligently, still working out, still doing whatever. Kind of got a little bit lax on the meal, the nutrition portion. Not too bad. I still always relatively ate pretty clean, but it got to the 6 month mark and it's like, man, this has been like 6 months. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I've still got to go like six more months. And, you know, I kind of like lost a little bit of steam and I'm like, all right, just keep going, kind of fake it till you make it thing. So, and just kept pushing through. And then I kind of started somewhere along the way, started seeing some changes, you know, with 5 months left. And I'm just like, all right, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be serious about it and I'm going to go all in. So I really cleaned up nutrition. I was very strict, didn't have a single cheat meal. So I cut all that out and I literally ate the same meals every single day. Like, same time, same thing. Every day, started cutting that out. And then, you know, I was lifting some extra and stuff on the side and trying to just build that muscle mass and keep that muscle mass while still burning the fat. Went through all that and, got some help with some nutrition and see what I could hone in. And then I finished my year challenge and, you know, it was a long process of just sticking with something for a year, you know? And it's like, everybody's like, you can do anything for a year, but a year is a long time, right? Yeah. Like, especially when you're sticking with it day in and day out. And, oh, you know, I was pretty hard on myself, because I'm like, I skip birthday cake. I skip, you know, numerous things of just like, nope, can't have it. Nope, can't have it. But that's what, in my mind, that's what it was going to take, right? Because I was competing against, you know, I didn't know what I was competing against. And that's the hard thing. In football, you have film, right? So you watch film and you can see the other team. You know what everybody's bringing to the table. Well, this challenge, I don't know who's competing. I don't know how many. And I have no idea where they were or where they're at now. So all I can do is compete against myself and get better every day and try to just get to the best possible version that I can get to. But as I was going, you know, people like, oh, you know, be careful, slow down. You know, like, cause I just started dropping, started really cutting. And you know, some people were, you know, had some opinions and things like that of like, you're going to have to slow down cause your body's going to stop. Like you're going to go too soon before the end or whatnot. And then I was like, okay, you know, but I just kept pushing. I never really stopped. I got it in my head that I've got to go until I was going to go until I couldn't. So, you know, I just kept pushing and, you know, got down to the point of made it to the final. So I went through and I did every 10 week testing, just progressively got better through each 10 weeks and, measured, you know, every one of those 10 weeks and whatnot, and took that end of the year picture. And to see the end of the year picture from the beginning of the 10 weeks to the end of the 10 weeks was a huge change.
Oh my gosh. Here's what, it's remarkable. And that's why you were one of the finalists for the national challenge. And, you know, even though you didn't win the national challenge, you still won. And you were, it's almost like golf. You were competing against yourself, against the golf course, not against everybody else out there, just to do the best job you could. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, the money becomes an extra thing, because I'm sure that your life has been changed to a point where the $10,000 would be nice, but it's not a life-changing amount of money. Right. But what you did for yourself was life-changing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was able to get off of cholesterol meds, blood pressure meds. I don't take any of those meds today. And yet, you know, here I am over a year after that point, and I still work out every day. I just have new goals, and I do new things. I would never be doing the competitions I do now or be in that position if, you know, Nick and Denise probably didn't get that gym, because I followed Nick in and started, and
all his fault,
to see what I could do. Right. I blame Nick all the time. Absolutely.
He's a good man. Him and Denise are the dream team, Batman and Superman, right there at Urbandale. And Denise is Batman. You know that, but the audience might not. So you changed your routine, started eating really clean. And did you feel that your food cravings changed over time? What you wanted to eat.
Yeah. And it does. Once you start cutting out all that sugar, your body kind of stops craving that as much, right? So whenever you cut out the salt and the sugar and the, you know, different things like that, one thing you eat will create the craving for another thing. So if I eat something salty, I'm going to want something sweet. So if I cut those things out, then they're not playing off of each other. But the cravings for a lot of things stopped. My craving for pizza will never go away. Like, I'll always want some of that, right?
I'm with you.
But, you know, in general, for the most part, it's not like, oh, I got to have this today. You know, so when I eat my chicken or I eat my steak or I eat whatever, I mean, I eat normal food. It's just clean, you know, right? Like, so I don't eat all the processed food and such like that. So I try to eat everything that's natural. And once I do that, I don't have all the synthetic chemicals in me. I don't have, you know, the sugar, then my sugar levels stay the same as long as I keep eating normal. So, you know, it all plays a part in that. And then your body doesn't really crave that.
Right.
Like, if you have a little bit, then you're going to want more.
I'm with you on the pizza. I got to have pizza every now and then, but I don't eat the whole pizza. I just eat a few pieces. I'm happy, right? Because when you get on this and you realize you're going to eat six small meals a day, that balloon, which is called your stomach, contracts, it shrinks, and you can go expand it pretty quick if you overeat, but it's good to keep it small. That way you're satisfied much earlier. And there's little tricks like drinking a glass of water before and all that, which you know. But what I was going to say earlier, that I just remembered, is this post, I'll put up this podcast with your before and after picture from when you first started the 10 weeks until your after photo when you finish your national challenge, because it is really remarkable what you did and how cut you got. Just looked like you could wash your clothes on your abs, man. They were so...
Yeah, I mean, I lost quite a bit. I ended the national challenge at 205 pounds. So, you know, I dropped all the way down. The in body stops at 3% body fat. So I had that pegged for the last 2.5 weeks at the 3% mark. And then I went and got, I did the volume test out at DMU. To try to get a more accurate reading, since the in-body stops at the 3%. And I got down to 2% total when I finished the national challenge.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because you couldn't pinch your skin. You were so tight. I mean, just right. Like amazing. But I will say, from what I've heard, going below 4% body fat can be dangerous. So I now I understand why people were warning you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they were warning you. I didn't stay there. Like, that's right. Not something that you can maintain. You're right. It's not healthy, because your brain needs the fat and other organs needs
glycogen,
and different things like that. So like, you definitely need all that stuff. So I literally got that low for that week. And then I started eating and started putting that back on a little bit. And then I settled back up around 5%. So that's not something that you live with or do. I did it purely for the competition. Mm-hmm. I did the first part to get healthy. And then when I got to around 5 or 6%, I was still healthy and I felt good. But then the competitor in me said, I need to do more, right? Mm-hmm. So that's probably where it could be viewed as a little bit unhealthy, right? Because I was like, I was mm-hmm. willing to go the distance to do what I could to make that happen. But I knew realistically that's not somewhere where I could be. And it's not somewhere where I would want to be, right? Like,
yeah, what you're telling me is like, your commitment to this is like, you're the David Goggins of Feral Extreme Body Shape, the Navy SEAL that does the crazy runs and stuff. You sound like him, with your dedication to this, which is pretty, pretty cool. But when guys, in particular, women, it's a higher number, but when guys get to 8 or 10% body fat, then they've got their six pack. So people listening know you were like way below that six pack level that was shown long before you took your after photo. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give somebody that's just getting started in ferals or thinking about it? Maybe they're apprehensive, they're nervous about it. What advice would you give a new person, which you've done because you're coaching? So thank you for doing that, by the way.
No, I would just say, just do it, right? Just take the leap, because what's it going to hurt, right? It's not going to hurt anything just to do it. You get in it. And the main thing about it, just be consistent in what you do.
So, show up.
And what I mean by that is exactly that, show up, right? Like, so just come every day. There's days that, like I said before, I had it too. You're not going to feel like it. And that's okay. Just go. Because that's probably the point that you need it the most, are the days that you don't want to go, right? Because nothing can go right if you don't want to go, right? What else is going to happen? If you're like me, I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm just going to not feel great. My energy level is going to be lower. Probably just fall asleep, whatever the case is. But so I would say stick with it, be consistent in what you do, and be purposeful about it, right? Like, so don't just go. Don't, and whatever. I mean, you may do that at the first point, but I mean, actually try to change something. Like, what's your goal going into that day? Is it something that you can work on? Is it something that you want to focus on? Whatever the case is, and do that. The nutrition piece, Honestly, that just have to clean that up, right? And then be consistent with that as well. And changes will happen. But, you know, the main thing is you can't outwork a bad diet, right? So you got to just make sure that you're eating relatively healthy, shape that up, and just keep going every day. But there's plenty of people around that help. You know, there's coaches, there's instructors, there's people that's just, they're fit members. They've done it for a long time. And, you know, for the most part, everybody's willing to help. So, you know, don't worry about reaching out and asking questions.
Yeah, exactly. So you told me that originally in this call that goals are very important. You had the 10-week challenge goal. There's a chance to win $1,000 there. Then you did the national challenge trying to win $10,000 and you won, even though you didn't get the check. What are your goals now?
So now I've gotten into bodybuilding. So now I compete naturally. So like back in May was my first bodybuilding show. I got up on stage and did Natural Iowa. I have another one coming up in October in Omaha. So I'll go compete again. But, you know, it was something that I've never done. I wanted to try it. So I went and I gave it a shot. So I hired a coach for that and got up there and I got second. I didn't expect to do that. So I got first in my division and I got second overall. So if I would have gotten first overall, wow, I would have earned my pro card. So
wow,
hence the reason I'm continuing to do it. So
yeah,
I'm like, I can't fall short. So I've got to, you know, I can't be denied.
Yeah. So tell me about that a little bit. So what's your division? What is that, age and weights? Is that what it is?
Yep. So you go, so your division is all age and weight related. So you're comparable to the guys that you're competing with. And then the open is everybody. So you're competing against everyone.
You took second in the open.
Yes.
Wow.
First in my division, second in the open.
What is your division, if you don't mind me getting some details there?
So I was competing in the 220 weight class, and then my division was the 30 to 40 range.
And so you're competing against then 20-year-olds for the open.
For the open, yep.
Wow.
There were some competitors there that were that went to Iowa State. They had just graduated there, and a couple of them were still going. So yeah, it was 18 and up that I was competing against. The oldest person there, I think he might have been 59 for the open. So yeah, and you gotta compete against at least four to be eligible to earn your pro card. You can't just win it by default. Mm-hmm. And so you have to earn it. Definitely, I mean, so you shouldn't limit yourself, right? Like you shouldn't say, oh, I can't compete against 20-year-olds, because you can, right? It just depends on what it is that you're competing for, right? So
yeah.
Obviously, if I'm going to go try to play football against 20-year-olds, it might be a different story. But up there, it's, you know, it's what you put into it, and it's all about symmetry, and it's not necessarily totally all the mass, right? You know, and one of the things that people hear think of is, you know, when you hear bodybuilding, you think of like the great big dudes, mm-hmm, right? Like Kai Green and Phil Heath and those guys that compete. But that's in an entirely different level itself, right? Like those guys are big. In the natural realm, it's, you're not as big. You have quite a bit of muscle still, and you're still big, but it's not like what you think. So, you know, a lot of people can compete in the bodybuilding realm. There's different divisions. There's bodybuilding, there's men's physique, there's classic physique, and just different things that you can do. It just depends on what you have, and what your goals are. But
yeah, I know that I was watching, I think it was on Lee Haney, they had the bodybuilding stuff, and those guys get their testosterone up to like 3,000 or 4,000 or whatever it is, an incredible number. Then the human growth hormones are taking all these things, and they're not tested for, so they're not in that category. They test you guys because they want to make sure you're not doing any body enhancement drugs or anything. Correct. So how tall are you?
6'3".
Okay. Well, to be 6'3 and get second overall, there's going to be shorter guys there. I'm 6'5". It's harder to put on the muscle mass to look bigger when you're taller because it's stretched over longer bones. That just makes sense. So your competition at 6'3 is even more impressive than if you were 6 foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the thing is, even when I was backstage and I'm looking at these guys, I'm like, man, these guys have a lot of muscle, you know? And it's like, and so my coach was back there. He's like, you do too. It's just longer. Like, it's okay. You know, it's not necessarily like, okay, how big around is the bicep? I mean, they're literally looking at symmetry, like, because your bicep shouldn't be way bigger than what your calves are. Right. So they're comparing that, you know, as far as symmetry goes, and what all that looks like. So it's different. And then a lot of it, like mine came down to, it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't symmetrical or I wasn't big enough. It came down to posing. So the guy that actually beat me, yes, he was shorter, but his posing was just much better. You know, when you're competing, it's like, oh, there's no way he was better. But if you go back and you look at it, and I'm looking at pictures, and it's like, oh, he's absolutely better poser than I am. Mm. But he's also been doing it for six or seven years. So, you know, I was competing against that, which most of those guys were nice. I mean, he was giving me pointers backstage, you know, and he's competing against me. And
that's, I was like, cool.
I know this is awkward to ask you, but no, everybody is super helpful. And it was a lot of fun. You know, it was a great experience. So yeah, and like I said, I'm going to keep doing it. Got one coming up here at the beginning of October, and we're going to go for it again. But yeah, you know, I still maintain my workouts. I still lift heavier. You know, I still instruct. So, you know, if I do instruct and I'm teaching resistance one day, you know, I may double up a workout so I can go get the free weights and still build the muscle that I want to do. But bodybuilding, it's a lot more of, you know, isolation movements, because you want to isolate the muscles and build up the ones that you need to show. And necessarily, it's not just Olympic lifts, right? So you're not just doing bench or not just doing squats. Yeah, so it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a science behind all of it. It's crazy how much you just learn by doing it and paying attention.
That's so fantastic. You should be really proud of yourself, because that's something that is incredibly, it takes a dedication like you have, clearly getting down to 2% body fat to be able to do shows like that. Just the discipline all the way around your life. It's very impressive. And when you're posing up on stage, it doesn't look like you're doing much. How hard is that? Is that exhausting or what?
Oh my gosh. That took more energy and effort than I ever in my life expected. So my bodybuilding coach gave me some pointers, and he's like, okay, I want you to go through all these poses, and I just want you to start at 10 seconds. I just want you to hold the pose for 10 seconds each. He goes, you're not going to have to hold it that long. You're probably going to have to hold it for 3 or 4 on stage. So I'm like, all right, I got that. And so I started flexing and, you know, posing and different things like that. And I'm like, why am I breathing so hard? Like, I'm really not doing anything but standing here. And, you know, and then when you get up on stage and so, you know, you've gone through peak week, which is you went through your cutting, right? So you've cut everything down. You don't have a whole lot of energy, you know, by the time you get up on stage, because I mean, you're cutting.
You got very little
carbs are low. Yeah. So then you get up there, and then the longer they have you up there. So I was up there for an incredibly long time because they were trying to go between two of us, right? Basically, they narrowed it down to two of us, and they were trying to see who was going to beat the other person out. So we were up there forever, and they tried everything to get me to get my lats to flare, which is, that's a whole thing to learn in itself. Oh, it's not a flex. But once I, you know, figured that out, but yeah, we were up there forever, and I'm like, I'm dripping. I'm out of breath. My heart's racing. Like, I'm pretty sure my heart was not beating as fast when I ran the mile. But it literally is exhausting. Takes an incredible amount of energy because you're using your entire body the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm just flexing a bicep. You're flexing your bicep. You're flexing your core. You're flexing your quads. So all at the same time, and your quads are a huge muscle group. So flexing that alone just takes an incredible amount of energy. But and then you hold it, right? So flexing your abs, and you blow all your air out, and then you hold it, and you everything is just flexed. You're exerting energy of the whole time. I would be curious if I could wear my MyZone up there and just.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah,
guarantee you it would just be up in the 90s.
Oh man, yeah. So you're flexing, and your quads are fighting for the oxygen in your blood that your chest is trying to steal. You know, so it's just a battle. But who gets the oxygen in your bloodstream? So crazy. Okay, let's do a level 10 speed question, kind of a lightning round, just for fun. What's your favorite food? Pizza? Is there something
pizza?
Else? Is
that yep. it?
Okay. What would you never eat?
What would I never eat? Probably onions.
Favorite exercise in ferals?
I like curls. Definitely my go-to.
Most despised exercise?
Squats.
What's your favorite non-FXB physical activity?
Bodybuilding.
Okay. What's on your bucket list?
My bucket list would probably be skydiving.
Okay. Last question I have here. Is there anything I missed that you'd like to share?
I don't think so. I think we definitely covered a whole lot of the story and, you know, kind of where I was to where I am now, which is definitely light years in between, right? So, I think we definitely hit everything. And, I appreciate the opportunity to sit and chat with you, Lance.
Heath, it's been my pleasure. Keep up the great work. And I'm going to come watch one of your shows sometime. I think that would be so good. I'm going to know how hard you're working up there, too, and you're flexing away.
It's a lot, for sure. There will be another one here in Iowa in May.
Awesome. I'll come see you. Well, you have a great day.
All right. You too. Thanks, Lance.
Bye. And until next time, this is Lance Farrell with Life at Level 10. Please be sure to like it and subscribe if you'd like to hear more episodes.